concentrate.
Yeah. It's the same for me.
No, very.
It's Torah Lishma for a change. And Hey Omid Beis, towards the bottom. I'm skipping a little bit. About 10 lines from the bottom. The first word on the line is Kamash Malon. So the Pasuk says, there's a Pasuk. There's a pasuk in Kitetze. Kitidor neder l'Hashem Elokecha lo te'acher l'shalmo. That's the pasuk we've been working with the last 2 weeks about this isser of bal te'acher. When you have a korban, you have to bring, or you made a neder, or a whole that the brisa lists a whole variety of things that this applies to. You can't be late, and if you're late, it's a love. You violate an Isser in the Torah. How late is late? So that's what the Gemara was discussing. So we've generally settled on this idea of Shalosh Regalim. If you let three Regalim pass, then you've missed the deadline. Lo ta'acher l'shalmo, ki darosh yidrashenu Hashem Elokecha me'imach v'haya becha chet. What does it mean? There'll be a sin in you. The Gemara says, "Velo bekorbanecha chet." The sin is it was what you make a neder. You say, "This goat, I'm bringing it to Beit HaMikdash," and then you're lazy, and you don't. You forget to bring it. Whether you go up to Yerushalayim or you don't go up to Yerushalayim. How come you didn't send that research about what we know about the statistics about Aliyah LeRegel?
I don't know the statistics. What I have was from a verbal conversation with Professor Sefer.
Oh, that's what it was? It was a verbal conversation?
Might have been, yeah, so.
Oh. I see. He didn't give you an article to read?
It depends, yes, but I don't know.
What do you mean you don't have it? If he gave it to you...
No, he didn't give me one. I was saying there could be one.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Whether you go to Yerushalayim, you don't bring the korban. So the second the deadline passes, you have a chet. You don't file your taxes on time. It's a felony. Is it a felony? It's a federal crime. There's a law. You have to file your taxes unless you have a.
It's a crime. Exactly.
What is it? What do you call it? A misdemeanor?
Yeah, I'm going to pay a fine, I guess.
No, but in other words, unless you have an extension, comes April 15th, the morning of April 16th, it's like a chakira, right? Like when does the isser of not paying, filing your taxes, right? Is it midnight on the 15th? Is it the morning of the 16th? I'm editing now. We have for tradition a manuscript of a lecture the Rav gave in the 40s. Which had never been published before. So we hope to publish it in tradition. So he's talking about how the halacha, it's themes that you recognize from other things he's written, but he mentions this idea of how halacha objectifies reality. So he says, I mean, it was an oral presentation that somebody wrote up a transcript of. So, you know, he says things that he might not have written if he was writing it himself as an essay, but he says, if you could, lahavdil, if you can imagine, no, he says.
Is he speaking English?
Yeah, it was in English. He says, and that's what lulav is. Lulav has this idea of hadar, right? But hadar generally exists in the realm of the aesthetic, and aesthetics is not something that can be legislated, right? Because what you like, but the halacha can't tolerate that idea that hadar would be. For lulav would be
subjective,
just some kind of subjective
right.
thing. It has to objectify. So hadar gets concretized as yovesh and chazazit on the esrog and the saduk. If it's split, etc., they become objectified norms for what is and isn't. What is and isn't hadar. So he says, imagine lahavdil, we had a haloche of a Christmas tree. He says, there'd be a mesechta Masechta Christmas Tree.
A famous joke. So,
in other words, it's a famous Purim spiel.
I had no idea.
Right? Right? So he says, there'd be a machlokis. Is it is the mitzvah to bring it into your house or to stand
this
it up in your house?
It started with the Rav.
I mean, maybe somebody else came up with it, L'shem Purim Spiel, but he was doing it, obviously, tongue-in-cheek.
I know, it's very funny.
He said, there'd be a shaila. Do you have to do a hakofa around the Christmas tree? Do you have to? He says, by the time it was done, it wouldn't be a Christmas tree. It would just be a chefetz shel mitzvah. It would be just this objectified, right? I mean, he doesn't go into, like, you know, the dinim of, like, the decorations of the Christmas tree and everything else, but... So the
that's
lights.
That's amazing. That's right? Amazing that you.
So that's what. So you don't pay your taxes. So Hilchos paying your taxes in America. So April 15th, you don't pay your taxes. So what? What happens? So you violated some federal code, right?
Yeah, I guess you must have broken the law in some sense, because if you didn't, then. You know, then it's like here, like, okay, so if you didn't pay tax on April 15th, you didn't pay the following year, like, at some point, you violate a crime, because you can be prosecuted for
never. No, so, but obviously, every American citizen
taxes,
is obligated to,
if you didn't owe taxes, there's no violation if you didn't file.
Okay, so if you owe, Baruch Hashem, we all owe taxes. So you owe taxes, so you have to...
You have to file. Right. But
if you don't file, but etzem not filing is a violation of the federal tax code, right?
Yeah.
Isn't this your department?
Yeah.
Money. It's all the same thing. Look, to those of us that don't understand money and don't have money, it's all the same thing. So it's a love. When are you punished? And as if you on the morning of April 16th, the FBI does not come to your house and arrest you, right? We have this idea in halach also, like we have the idea of what's the idea of chatzi shira sumen haTorah, right? In other words, if you eat a chatzi shir for something that let's say chaylev, the iser is. So you have to have a kazayit, right? If you had a chatzi zayit, you don't get punished, but it's still usur. That's what we mean by chatzi shir usur min haTorah. It's still usur, but you haven't crossed a threshold that you have to pass for whatever the divine punishment is.
Yes, it's simple.
But it doesn't mean that, you know what, I'll have a chatzi zayit now, and tomorrow I'll have another chatzi zayit. Every time you have a chatzi zayit, it's usur.
Well, it's similar to the Shabbos concept of usur, potter aval usur.
Of potter aval usur.
That's in Shabbos. Well,
potter aval usur means derabonon. Potter aval usur means usur derabonon. Right? Chatzi shir is usur min haTorah. So you're potter from the korban, but it is usur min derabonon.
So what's happening with this guy? So three people in passed, and he hasn't brought this.
And so he's violated Baal Ta'achir.
It doesn't mean that he.
But what about the.
Nothing's wrong with the korban.
But what about
nothing wrong with the korban. The korban is still shaykh.
Why do you say that?
Because it's adolam. It's forever. He's still is no. Always in debt.
Are there examples of korbanot that have deadlines?
Of course.
Well, Pesach. I mean, but it's stated. For example, okay. Pesach if you're on that night.
It happens that you're right. It happens that you're right. Once you're makdish the korban, it's you can be makrivit at adrabah. You pass the Baal Ta'achir deadline.
You still are
chayiv to bring the korban. Elama, you're in violation.
You're in violation.
It's like having shachris at 2:00 in the afternoon. You have the schiv to daven, but you weren't money.
Crutch him off with them.
What the chayiv of tashlumen is a separate chakira. But yes, the idea being that you owe Kriyat Shema.
Still have a chiyuv to do it.
No, Kriyat Shema. That's the first sugya in Tefillas HaShachar. Kriyat Shema doesn't have tashlumin. If you miss Kriyat Shema,
over
Yom HaBatul Karbon. That's not the. That's
no,
for,
but
that's,
it's a similar concept.
But if you miss Kriyat Shema, it's you missed out. If somebody didn't say Kriyat Shema, right? For whatever reason, didn't say Kriyat Shema. So, and it's still it's like 4:00, 5:00 in the afternoon. So say Kriyat Shema, Like, it doesn't hurt to say Kriyat Shema.
Well, I mean, also, if you haven't put on tefillin, then you should when you put on tefillin.
No, so that
you say Kriyat Shema when you say it. So, like, I mean, it's not if you didn't.
So, if you daven in the morning without tefillin.
I mean, it would be a very unusual situation. You put in tefillin, but you didn't say Kriyat Shema in the morning, and then later you did. Like, that would be very strange.
Right. So, well, maybe you didn't put on tefillin in the morning.
No. Like then at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you put in tefillin, you say Kriyat Shema, because that's you should be saying Kriyat Shema.
It doesn't hurt to say Kriyat Shema, but as we do this on Tisha B'av, we don't put tefillin on in the morning, we put it on a mincha. But in the morning, we said Shema. So there's a minhag that many people have that when you put tefillin on in the afternoon, you recite Kriyat Shema again. Or it happens sometimes. People, you know, they're halachot about when you cannot put tefillin on if you've got an upset stomach. So it's possible you're able to daven in the morning, but you're not able to put on tefillin.
Right.
Right? So later, there's a problem of davening without, of saying Shema without tefillin because of this idea that it looks like you're kofir be'edut. As you're saying, k'shartem otam le'ot al yadecha v'ayil totefot be'in echa, but you're standing there, you didn't do the mitzvah.
What?
Seder, at night you're not allowed to wear tefillin, so there's no... There's not Shabbos, you don't wear tefillin, so there's
it'd
no.
Like
it's
a
not
tanit, a. It'll be like on a tanit.
On Tisha B'av.
On Tisha B'av. No, so don't wear tefillin on the so Shacharit.
On Tisha B'av, we don't put on tefillin in the morning, we put it on the afternoon.
This is
so some people have a practice to, when in the afternoon, before you come to shul, a few minutes before mincha, to put on your talis and your tefillin before they start Ashrei. So some people are noig to recite Kriyat Shema again. Because what does it hurt? It's just psukim. Except what? What's the problem?
We're not from the midst of Kriyat Shema.
What?
You're not filling the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema.
No, you don't have to, in the Tisha B'Av case, you don't have to fulfill the mitzvah because you've already been mekayem the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema in the morning. But what's the problem? And the idea being that when you put on tefillin without davening,
they go together.
They go together, right? They go together. Tefillin is the thing, Shema is the thing you do when you're wearing tefillin. Right? So how much tefillin do you have to wear?
So what's the problem?
No, so the problem is, so say Shema again. Because what difference does it make? It's just psukim. Right.
So there's no right? problem.
Ah, except what? Just saying psukim is, of course, a form of?
With Limud Torah.
Talmud Torah. What's the problem? Tisha B'Av?
But in the afternoon, No.
Talmud Torah is usur. People make this mistake. The only thing that we are lenient about after Chatzot
is sitting
on the floor. Huh? All of the other hanagot and isurim of Tisha B'Av, certainly the chameshet inuim, but
the greetings,
Shelat Shalom, and Talmud Torah, those are things that are usur the whole day.
We're working, isn't it?
So working is not technically usur. The idea is that on Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't do anything that distracts you from the morning, which is why we spend all day from the morning until the evening saying keynote, except what?
Except we don't.
Not everybody does. But in theory, you should try to limit your activity on Tisha B'Av to things that are associated with Tisha B'Av, which is why, like in camp, they always show Operation Thunderbolt. Why, I don't know. I guess if there hadn't been Tisha B'Av, Idi Amin would not have come to power. I'm not sure. But, you know,
it's sad.
Yoni doesn't make one.
And Schindler's List hadn't been made yet.
Yeah, so. Schindler's List, Holocaust stuff, they have all these. So the idea being that you try to keep your mind as much as possible, it's hard for us, but as much as possible on the Inyanei Avelut. Talmud Torah says, it's true that they once asked Reb Chaim Brisker for a kula, right? They said, you got a kula for us? So he said, I allow you to learn on Tisha B'Av afternoon.
I think you asked him for kula in general.
This is a story.
Not a kula about learning on Tisha B'Av afternoon.
This is a story. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant. But it was said that Reb Chaim's kula was, and besides the fact he thought you could eat on Yom Kippur.
You should.
You know that story. There was once the cholera.
Every year
there
was cholera. Right. The cholera story we know.
So Reb Chaim was extremely... he said he's not mekel about fasting. He's machmir about pikuach nefesh. So according to the story, he gets up and he got up in shul on Yom Kippur and made kiddush and ate, so that everybody should see he's eating. They shouldn't feel bad. They should also eat. So his kula, one of his kulas was he was lenient about learning on.
Oh, friend, the Rav had something similar about a similar story about nittel.
About nittel. Nittel's for bchal not real.
No, but he would say no.
Tisha B'Av
says no because you because I'm supposed to learn. So he'd learn, and he'd say, "Okay, when I get to Shemayim, I'll do like the cheshbon there about my learning."
Right. As apparently the not the Kotzker. Oh, yeah, that's the problem with all these Meiselach. You could tell them about any one of the Gedolim. The Stipler, I don't know. Let's say it was the Stipler who learned on Tisha B'Av. And they said, so it wasn't the Stipler, I'm blanking who it was. And they said, how can you learn? How can you be learning Bava Kama on Tisha B'Av? So he said, Talmud Torah is so gewalt, it's worth the Yisr. It wasn't the gun.
Maybe the Rogachev.
The Rogachev. Yes, it was the Rogachev.
Sounds like his style.
Yes, it's the Rogachev. Yes, it was the Rogachev. Right. That's the, according to tradition, that was his. Well, you did bring snacks. Are you sneaking something? Are you holding out on us? You got some cashews there.
There's a Yom Kippur story like that also with nuts. Dafka.
V'haya b'cha chet, v'lo b'karbanecha chet. V'ha mihocha. So in other words, the chet is, we really waste a lot of time here.
We're not learning.
The chet is not in the korban.
What does it mean, not in the korban?
Meaning the korban isn't pasul.
Oh, okay.
Well, good.
V'ha mihocha nafka. And we learned that from this. Mida acherim, in the Brayset lists, the opinion of the others, Nafka d'tanya acherim omrim yochol yehe b'chor she'avra shnato kipsule hamikdoshin v'yifsol. Could it be, you have a b'chor, you have to bring the b'chor, what's the din of a b'chor? You bring the b'chor within the first year.
The animal or the other?
The animal. And it's sacrificed, which obviously does not mean your eldest son. And it's sacrificed and the Kohanim eat it. So if you didn't get the Bechor to Beit HaMikdash within the year, would it be possible to sacrifice it? Talmud Lomar, V'achalta lefnei Hashem Elokecha, Maaser diganecha, tirashka, v'yitzarecho, v'chorot bekarecha, v'tzoncha, makish Bechor lemaaser. So in this list of the things that you bring to Beit HaMikdash, they're all different categories, right? But all these different things have to be brought to Beit HaMikdash. Ma ma'aser eino nifsal mishana l'chavirta, af b'chor eino nifsal mishana l'chavirta. You didn't bring it on time, you get the Isser of Bal Ta'achir. And maybe, I don't know, however God keeps his books.
You still have to bring it.
There's no knas, there's no sanction about...
The knas is your averus are piling up.
There's a more pertinent example of what we learned last week. That if, let's say, you have the Korban Pesach and then the whole Kutzah became Tamei, so then they can take that same Korban and bring it on Pesach Sheni.
Right.
But if it's not Ben Shnato, then they can't bring it.
Right. But then it has to be that's this idea of the Shalmei Pesach. It gets converted to a different kind of Korban. Because the animal didn't do anything. The animal's not possible. Right? But that's just the technicality that you obviously can't bring. In other words, so your korban, forget, let's say there is no korban, let's say there is no Pesach Sheni. Right? So you can't bring it next year. Why not just save it till next year? Because it'll be too old.
We bring two next year.
No, you can't bring two next year.
Well, no, the other example we gave was that it disappeared.
Right, it disappeared and then shows up again, right? So, just like Meiser can be brought from one year to the next, what does it mean Meiser can be brought from one year to the next? Which Meiser is this? This is Meiser Rishon?
No, Meiser Sheni.
Has to be Meiser Sheni. Why?
Meiser Rishon, you
have
to bring to
Yerushalayim. Meiser Rishon, you have to bring to Yerushalayim. Right? Also, Meiser Rishon, you can't be mafresh from one year on the next. So what can you bring from one year on the next? Maaseh Sheni.
Was it two years in a row?
3 years in a row.
Maaseh Sheni?
Maaseh Sheni, you have to, in other words, we learned this on the last episode. No, it is Maaseh Sheni, not to be mafrish from one crop on the other, from one year on the other, but the Maaseh that you have to bring to Yerushalayim, when do you have to bring it? Twice every Shemitah. Vidui Maestros, Biur Maestrot, is twice every Shemitah. So you have, so you can save up all of that Maaseh Sheni, or its value, over a multi-year period.
Oh, but you have to put it aside. You can't take from 1 year for 2 years. You have to take
each year. It all goes into the same account, same Maaseh Sheni account. And so just like there, you see that, just like the mice, and there's this list of things. And one of the things that can be brought from 1 year to is Maaseh. So the Maaseh is a Hekesh from Bechor and Maaseh. So just like Maaseh doesn't have to be brought this year. This is the first year of Shemitah. So we set aside our Maaseh Sheni, right? It can be brought next year when you go to Beit HaMikdash with the Maaseh Sheni of year one and year two. So too Bechor. Bechor is not limited. When the year passes, when should you bring it? The first when it's a Bechor. But after the first year, you violate Bal Ta'acher, but the korban can still come. So Gemara says, "Itzterich salka dat chamina, hani mili bechor, de lav bar hartzahu." I might have thought that this applies only to a bechor. A bechor is not bar hartzah. Doesn't give a lecture.
I was going to say.
What's Bar Hartzah? I'm curious how this is connected to Hartzah. What's the origin of the word Hartzah meaning a lecture? We expect a Balashon column by this evening.
Yeah, quickly. Yeah, I don't expect.
Now you've got all offline on your.
What? Hartzah means Ratzon. Ritzui. There's an idea that korbanot, certain korbanot, are brought liratzot et Hashem. Ken, that's what I just said. Right? They're korbanot. You bring a korban chatat. There's an inyan of ritsui. Right? That Hashem is appeased. Where do we see this word most commonly?
Let's say.
In Ritzay. What do we say in the Amida? V'tzei Hashem Elokeinu ba'amcha Yisrael v'tfilatam v'hashev et ha'avoda l'dvir b'techa v'ishei Yisrael tfilatam v'avad kabel b'ratzon t'hi l'ratzon tamid avodat Yisrael amecha v'techa zeinu enenu b'shevach ha'tzibrach Hashem should come back so we can do those korbanot. So what does it mean v'tzei? That Hashem should be
appears.
I mean, now there's the idea of ritzei meaning ani rotze mashu lishtot. Right? I want it. So when I get it,
I've been satisfied. Right?
I've been satisfied. Like, in other words, I can say I want something, and in Hebrew, to have your want fulfilled is the same word. It just flips backwards. Right? So ritsui means that Hashem has been appeased. Appeased from what?
Is either his indifference or his anger.
You got that ticket. You know that ticket? You're on your phone in the car? That ever happened to you?
Not yet.
Oh, you're very... It's an expensive ticket.
2,500 shekels.
It's 2,500? Oh, I thought it was 1,000. Yeah, it's amazing how little an incentive, a disincentive that fine is.
Because you don't expect to be caught.
Yeah. So a friend of mine got pulled over the other day.
Now you expect to be caught.
Yeah.
You know, a friend got caught, now you expect to be caught.
Yes, now I'm a little more nervous about it. A friend got pulled over the other day. He talked his way out of the ticket, though. I don't know how he did
it. He wasn't holding
on to it. How did they prove it?
He wasn't, cameras, he wasn't holding onto the phone.
I don't know. No, he said it was on the screen and it was hanging, you know, from the, you know, the thing.
He was touching it.
And he must have touched it.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, so that's you can get a ticket.
What?
That is a suit. Yeah. You can get a ticket for it. Yeah, apparently. Not allowed to touch the phone. Even when you're stopped,
It's not a phone, it's a screen. But
you're not allowed to touch the device.
So I can't
even
press
when you're stopped?
Apparently. He was stopped and the
means you can't really use Waze on that device if you have to touch the Waze.
No, is this your answer? Why don't you just tell it to us instead of WhatsApp?
My screen doesn't have voice commands yet.
Oh, well.
Because I do when I'm stopped. I'll stop the car and then do it. Or wait until the light comes.
He says that there's two meanings of the word, of the root ritse. One is to be pleased with, to be favorable to.
Uh-huh.
And the other is to count, enumerate, to pay off.
Oh, they're different shoroshim?
They're different shoroshim.
Oh.
The one, to count, enumerate, pay off, later becomes similar to count and to discourse, like we spore on the saper. It's a similar type of...
Oh, so that's why a heart... The university, it's called the Hartzah.
Right. Now, that's a modern word, the Hartzah. But he said that according to several lexicographers, Ritzeh represents a special sense of element of the original of the other Ritzeh, meaning to satisfy, and originally meant to satisfy the creditor.
So that's the meaning here.
Right.
That's the meaning here.
I'm not sure when, it's a... Even a Hebrew, like a biblical Hebrew word, I don't know when... I'm trying to think of examples where the second meaning to count, to count. He doesn't give, like, Sukkim. Now you need to look at, like, Evan Shoshan or something, but I don't know what the...
Oh, so they're not etymologically connected?
No, he said they might be connected, but all the discussions we're having, you know, Ratzon, Ritsui, Mirutzeh, those are all about to be pleased with, to be favorable, right. But I'm trying to think of words that we use other than Hartza'ah.
Right. But that sense of pleasing the creditor, or meaning the creditor is pleased because he's gotten paid back, that's the idea here of the korbanot that are for ritsui. Bechor is not for ritsui, right? It's not a sin offering. It's not you haven't done a sin. So, you haven't done right. In other words, it's
an obligation,
right? Like bikurim are also not for ritsui, right? D'lab baratzo aval kodshim. But regular sacrifices, which do have this element of ritsui, ninhu, ema, lo.
There will be chatan hasham, or also like shlamim or something.
So I think also the other korbanot have this.
Even though they're not for a particular.
Even though they're not like sin offerings. Kamashmalon. Right. So I might have thought that it doesn't work. That the Bechor is limited only, since Bechor is not for Ritsui, if you use it or lose it. If the deadline passes, you can't, like Krishma. A deadline passes, you can't make it up. There are certain things that don't have Tashlum, and there are certain things that have
Pigul, the whole idea.
We're going to come to Pigul in a moment. Pigul is different. We're going to come to it in a second. But Pigul is... Ben Azai Nafka, Ditznan. So where do we know that it's from that Bechor can be brought after you've already violated Balta Acher? Mide Ben Azai Nafka. We learn it from Ben Azai. This is the top of Vav Amid Aleph. Titanya Ben Azai Omer Oto. Which Oto? So there's a Pasuk. In Parshat Tzav, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Chet. Ve'im he'och, this is amazing, right? From the word, like Chazal, like they must have been paying by the word. So instead of giving you the Pasuk, they just give you the word. that's like the code word for the pasuk. But the word that it here is, it's not totafot, like a word like you know exactly what it is, where it is. It's the word oto. How many times does the word oto appear in Chumash? David?
I would guess
more than 10. Yeah. So oto, so like I figured you knew which pasuk it was talking about. Right? So Rashi tells you, Batorat Kohanim, Tani lo, gabe pigul, lo yerotze hamakriv, oto lo yechashev. So this is the pasuk of pigul. V'im he'ochel ye'ochel mibsar zevach shlamav biyom ha'shlishi lo yeratzeh ha'makriv. Right? You have 2 days and one night to eat shlamim. So if you eat it from on the third day, lo yeratzeh. What does that mean, lo yeratzeh?
Your shlamim wasn't really a shlamim in that case.
You don't get the ritzui.
Right. Wasn't accepted.
Hamakriv oto, that's the oto under question here. Hamakriv oto, lo yechashev, lo pigul yiye. What's pigul? Pigul is a word that means like toiva, is disgusting.
Yeah.
If you have machshavot, when you sacrifice, there's different types of psulim in a korban. A korban can be pasul because it's missing an eye. A korban can be pasul because it's stolen. A korban can be pasul for all types of reasons. But there are psulin in a korban that have to do with the kavana of the makriv. If this korban has to be eaten by the second day, and when you are sacrificing it, today's Sunday, and you're saying, I'm shechting this, I'm going to have it for dinner. We'll have it for dinner on Shabbos. Right? Or you have to eat the korban inside the mikdash. And you say, I'm going to take this. We're going on vacation to Ashkelon. We'll pack sandwiches. That's pigul. It invalidates the korban. Even though the korban itself, the animal itself, is perfectly mahadrin, the machshava of the makriv invalidates the korban. It's called pigul. It's a fascinating idea.
Sorry.
The idea that like a machshava can mess up something, can create. Like I understand that like
they're
metaphysical.
The coinim doesn't have the correct kavanah of eating it on time.
Right.
They'll pasul it before they even give it.
When I said pigul, I thought I think I was mixed up. What's the term for a korban that is no longer valid because of time? Is that pigul? That's pigul?
Yes.
But you said it's about your intention, not about the time you.
Oh, I know. In other words, if you have the right kavanot, and you don't eat it on time, you have leftover.
That's also pigul?
No, so that's notar.
Notar, that's yeah. Thing. Notar, not
pigul. Right, because it was leftover, right? I don't like leftover. You know, we always have that. Lonnie says, what's for dinner? Leftovers. It's always from Shabbos. I don't like the microwave. Can't you taste the food from the microwave tastes different? I don't like it. So notar is all the kavanot and all the shechting and everything else was perfectly fine, but you didn't eat it within the deadline by which you're supposed to eat it. It was notar; it was left over, and therefore it's usur. There's an isur to eat it. Pigul is everything is fine, but you had machshavot to eat it at the wrong time. And even if you eat it the next day, even if you eat it within the right time, it's asur, right? Because the machshav. It's a fascinating idea. Like here the other day was walking around, he was wearing his tzitzit. The tzitzit, one of the tzitziot got caught on a rusty nail or something on a bench he was sitting on and pulled right off. Right? So the second you pull the tzitzit off, the whole thing becomes puzzle. Like there's a why? Because it's a physical manifestation, right? In other words, the psul is there in the fact that it doesn't have tzitzit al kanfei big dayan.
It's puzzle. This is tzitzit. Stole with the beged, no? No, you can't because no. It's arbakan foot.
It's arbakan foot without...
Take it off like immediately as soon as you rip
it. So I told him to take it off. Anyway. That's the Gemara talks about. The Gemara talks about like cases of tzitzit becoming puzzle, and this is like a central sugya in the issue of kavod abriot. You're in the shuk, and your tzitzit gets puzzle.
Right.
So you don't have to strip off right, your tzitzis. Why?
Because
of, no, because why is it covered? The covered up doesn't mean like going like this, like what Mike did. Right? No, why? Because it was his toga. It was to be the equivalent of telling you got to strip down to your underwear in the shuk. Right? So this, for covered up briot, you know, he can get home as quickly as possible to change. But that's not all. The way we wear arbakan fot, right? You know, talit, what's called the talit katan. That's not the case. So. So it's a physical manifestation.
I have to take my shirt off in order to get my tzitzit off.
Beseder, but usually, if you had to, you could like reach in like this, and pull out your tzitzit if you had to.
Oh, it's a goofy tzitzit.
So if it's a goofy, you can't do that. Beseder, but you could go into the bathroom and take it off.
Right.
But if you, in the case that the Gemara is talking about,
you couldn't. Right. It was your beged.
It was your beged. It was your right. So. So there's a physical manifestation of the psul in the tzitzit where the in the talit katan where the tzitzit gets pulled off, but then there are metaphysical realities. The machshava.
Tefillin also if tefillin's written in the wrong kavanah,
they're not good. No, so a sofer has to have kavanah. Right. If he has the wrong kavanah for shem Hashem,
matzah.
Matzah, yeah, there's certain things where we need lishma, you need kavanah, you need. But it creates a metaphor, you know, something. So you, and as a pigul, if the kohen didn't tell you, you wouldn't know. And is that visible in any way? It's not like a psul. If I shecht and I do one of the many different things that invalidate shechita, right? So then it's a physical psul, but there's also metaphysical. Like this idea that there's metaphysical reality
it's metaphysical, but it's still a human construct. In other words,
right, but that's,
it's not a, it's not that's a sense of like what's his name? Menachem Kelman talks about like a Geiger counter of Kedusha. It's not like it's some objective, you know, you could have, it's, you know, we determine that. We create that. It's not something that exists in the.
He says that in that article I gave you.
Yeah, but I've heard him say it before. That's like I think he's a lot. Yeah. So that you know, it's still man determined, the man created. It's not. When you say metaphysical,
The point is that it's all in the mind. It's a reality is created through thought,
right?
Not through. Right. You can't.
Well, in the case of the Shlomim going over the time, it's created by time.
Yeah, so is that a metaphysical or is that a physical?
No, it's a metaphysical. Right. Somebody walking by can't tell if this animal is
people. I guess it depends on how you relate to time. Time, certainly the Rambam makes a point of saying this, time is a physical measurement.
No, but the
In other words, if your lulav has to be 3 tvachim. If you have a lulav which is 2.5 tvachim or 3 tvachim, your hadassim have to be 3 tvachim. Right, so if you adasim are two tefachim, what kind of psul is that? It's a physical psul.
Okay.
So your korban has to be eaten by shkia on the third day.
So it's a non-physical.
Right. So no. So maybe that's a physical psul.
Because time
is a physical measurement. Just like tefachim and amot are physical measurements. Time.
Objectively, a person could not tell that.
Say there. But
the age of something, maybe you could tell, but I don't think it's like.
By one day, wouldn't be able to tell that an animal was older. Don't think.
Right, but in other words, whether or not, in other words, maybe that's not. I'm not sure what the nafkamin is here, but in other words, maybe maybe a deadline is a physical manifestation.
And that's
right. Okay. In other words, I used to have this argument with my father-in-law. Father-in-law didn't. He was a plenty religious man, Zechron Alavrocha, but he was a man of a certain generation, who was raised in a certain time and place. Grew up in a religious household and was religious throughout his life, but there was something about, let's say, the excessive punctiliousness of latter generations that he thought was
like shiurim, probably
zmanim. In other words, you know, like if we were there once and I checked to see, you know, we're going to shul and Shabbos. You know, in America they dive at 9 o'clock in the morning, so throughout much of the winter you miss Zman Kriya Shma. So I had checked to see what time Zman Kriya Shma was. This was before, like, you carry these things around on your phone. You had to, like, get a calendar. And so Shema Kriya Shema was, and you know, it was we weren't going to make it in the shul, and so before we left the house in the morning, everybody's having their coffee, so I'm saying Kriya Shema. So he said, "You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares?" I said, and it was one of these things where, you know, get my best guess of what time the shul was going to get up together, we're going to miss Kriya Shema by 5 minutes. So my father-in-law said, "You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares 5 minutes more, 5 minutes, you know?" Certainly in the days of old, where time could only be judged in very rough estimates, who knew the difference between 5 minutes was a meaningless,
right.
meaningless denomination of time.
What Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about, that's a much more complicated thing.
Right. So my response to him, he was a physician. So I said, 10 milligrams of this of drug, 12 milligrams, what's the difference?
Yeah, but I don't think you need to go, I mean, this...
Wait, so let me finish. So he said that's different. That's science. Mm-hmm. Oh. So I said absolutely, and that being this is exactly what the Rabbi Soloveitchik was always saying. Halacha is like science in the sense that it's a system with its own rules and its own integrity, and there is a difference between 10 milligrams and 12 milligrams, and between 859 and 901, and 2.5 amot and 3 amot. It's a system, and either it is or it ain't.
Well, I think that even a better example might not, I mean, you were talking about science thing, but the better example might have been, you know, I don't know, it's like in a game in sports or in a game of chess or something where, you know, the rules, right. You could say, what difference does it make if it's, you know, you're violating one rule or the other? It's, again, it's a human construct. But that's the way the game is played. You can't say, you know, oh, like you missed the clock and it didn't matter because, like,
you're playing golf with Trump.
But that's if you're talking about, if you want to talk about any idea of the construct. But that's not the only way you need to. You can look at it and not be worried. You can still. You don't have to worry about the objective reality, like where the halakha creates that reality, in the sense, right. That you could. The other alternative, I think, is like. I heard Aaron Rexel once gave this example. I've always thought of a fascinating example of, like, you know, his wife wants him to make the bed, like, yeah. Before these. What's the point? No one sees it. I come back. What difference does it make? But because it's important to her, so he does it. So, like, it's not. It was he can do it because it's an expression of love, without yeah. being the act itself doesn't necessarily have to have this, you know.
Yeah, but either
significance.
The bed is made or it isn't made.
No, but you could, with the what I'm saying is, if he's saying, what does Kadosh Baruch Hu care? So, like you're saying, it's not because you do it because if you do it, I have a love for Kadosh Baruch Hu, you do it because you want to be as careful as you can to fulfill what it is, not because it's like matters in the ultimate sense of whether it's important.
Right. Anyway, a couple of years ago, the best example I think of this is in the same week, a student of mine was mitgayer, and a friend of mine got divorced. So one day I find myself in the bentin with the student, and he goes into the mikveh, comes out of the mikveh, he goes into the mikveh, he's a goy, he comes out of the mikveh, he's a Yehudi l'chol davar, right? He looks exactly the same, right? But there's a metaphysical reality has changed. And then the next day you go to the betin, different betin, and he puts the get in her hand, and poof, before that she was an HSC, now she's
right.
It's just a metaphysical reality.
Why is that metaphysical? I mean, any more than like if
because her status has changed.
Why is the difference in a secular legal system where you would have somebody becomes an American citizen or somebody becomes like
yes.
Why is it, same. Is that metaphysical also?
Yes,
you would use the same term.
Yes.
Yeah. That's an interesting definition of metaphysics. That you're, I mean, usually people would say that's not, you know, not. It's more in the other world.
It's certainly subjective reality.
It's a legal change. But
it isn't the measurable reality. It's just, you know,